I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
J Cross, how good would you say you are at the guitar?
I would say
Your three choices are beginner,
yes,
intermediate,
yes,
or advanced.
Probably beginner.
Okay, excellent. How would you like to move up to intermediate?
I'd really like to be an intermediate guitar player. That's the only thing I've ever wanted to be.
Good. That's about as far as you'll get.
Yes.
Unless you use Guitar Tricks.
Okay, tell me more.
Guitar Tricks is an excellent website to teach you how to move from beginner to intermediate to advanced guitar.
Okay.
Whether you're just starting out or whether, you know, you should be better than you are.
Like me.
Indeed.
Yes.
Guitar Tricks will help you move through those stages as a guitar player. And good for you, J Cross. We have worked together with Guitar Tricks to bring a 14-day free trial to not only you, but to the listeners of the Guitar Nerds podcast.
So that means I can try it for 14 days, and if I'm not into it, just cancel it.
You can, indeed.
But I'm probably going to be into it.
I think you probably will.
Okay.
You'll notice a swift advancement of your guitar skills.
Excellent.
So do you want to know where you can get this offer?
Where can you get the offer?
GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks.
Can you repeat that for me?
I can. GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks.
Is there like an app that you can use, or do you have to do it on your computer?
GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Good evening.
J Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Hey!
Good, some people are on form. Jay, you're a little muted.
No, I just expected Joe to overcompensate.
Yeah, exactly. Just even it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's been really quiet and dire since he came in, and you can generally tell that the more...
He's saving it up.
The more dour and down Joe Branton is in the run up to the pushing of the record button, the more animated he'll be.
That is true. Usually the more times I have to press record because you're muffing around at the beginning.
I like to give you some editing to do at the start because I noticed that you always like to press the record button exactly before you actually introduce the podcast.
Yeah.
So I like to try and get something in right at the start so that you have to do a little bit of editing.
No, I just usually leave it in.
Oh.
Professional.
You're looking a bit pale today, Joe.
Yeah, I don't feel well.
Thanks for joining us anyway.
Yeah, that's all right. I've got a mouth full of ulcers and I've noticed that my S's aren't on form.
Really sugary Lucozade will help out with that.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. It's just cold stuff. I'm just drinking lots of cold stuff to make me not think about it.
Talking about Lucozade and sport, Matt Knight, you're joining us after a grueling day yesterday. For people not following on the Facebook group, what did you get up to yesterday?
I ran my second ever marathon.
Whee!
Hey.
Congrats.
So I did my first one in 2015, gave myself a break, stupidly decided up to do another one, loved it. Loved it and hated it. It is one of the most grueling things I think you can ever do. And it didn't help yesterday that it was absolutely roasting.
Yeah, we spent all day, because we came down to see you at mile 14 and mile 25, I think?
Five, yeah.
I saw you at 16 or something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
And, I mean, I was getting a sweat on just standing there clapping for people. Because it's nice, like particularly at mile 25, there's loads of people who are just walking, and if you give them a little clap, yeah, they then do a little run and crack on.
Yeah, clap and be like, run!
Yeah, yeah. So we just had a load of people shouting down at people who were like doing their best to run and that.
If you're going
to
walk, just give up.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing we were doing. Yeah, really, really helpful. And yeah, I was getting a bit of a sweat on just standing around. So God knows how you got through it after 26 miles.
I know. I didn't stop once, which was, I had three main goals, which was cross the finish line, don't stop once, and try and beat my personal best. Unfortunately, I didn't beat my personal best, but I did manage to.
Did you not even stop to go to the toilet?
Nope.
What's the situation with that? I was thinking about that as you were running around. Is there are there stops where you can stop?
There are toilet stops.
Oh, there are.
Basically,
right, okay.
You have to go for a number one as many times as possible before you start, because the adrenaline literally flushes it out of your body instantly.
Okay.
And number two, you have to.
No, you don't do that.
No.
Imodium, which is the stuff that you take when you have a really bad stomach.
Do you remember there was
I love this guitar related podcast.
I think it was the London Marathon. I think it was the London Marathon, maybe like 5 years ago.
Paula Radcliffe
had to pull over and
pull the shorts out over.
Just do what she needed to do. But like the BBC were filming her at that exact moment, and it just went out on live television. It was.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
But no,
so consummate professional, Paula Radcliffe.
I mean, you avoided popping the old winky balls out of the shorts, Matty.
I mean, there was literally one point where I was running behind someone. I was like, something doesn't smell right. So I think someone
run faster.
So
I need to overtake.
But it was a run of ups and downs. I mean, when you get to Shoreham Port, which isn't the nicest place.
Oh, that's where I live.
That is where Jay lives. So that's why it's not the nicest place.
They set showers up, cold showers, so you could run through cold showers.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I saw people along the way with just like little spray cans of like cold water that they were like spraying people with.
There was people, loads of people handing out sweets because obviously you need the sugar, and
people throwing water balloons.
Yeah, really off.
There were actually people with super soakers.
Like, really?
Yeah, near where Jay was actually, it was a dad and their son with super soakers.
I saw them doing that.
Was it like proper double barrels on the backpack, like really giving it like the whole force, really pumping it up?
But I mean, for all the, you know, I mean, I ran it for myself, and I really wanted to do it. The people out there doing it for charity and things, the costumes and stuff. And there was a guy who had built a moped. Like that, he could like Flintstone style, could
cheating.
Hold it up,
that's
and yeah, he could hold it up and run, so his feet were on the floor, so he could run, and had a makeshift passenger on the back.
I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
What,
yeah,
like not a real person?
No,
like it was like a scarecrow type thing,
right,
or something,
okay.
Like a doll. One guy was doing it in a full like mist, like Stay Puffed from Ghostbusters outfit.
Saw him.
There was a guy doing it in like a unicorn onesie.
Yeah, saw
him.
It was
so hot.
Yeah, unbelievable. Like, did you see? There was Darth Vader and Darth Maul racing against each other.
Yeah. The guy who was Darth Vader was absolutely smashing it.
Yeah,
he
was really. He was about half an hour ahead of you, I think.
Yeah.
He came past when we crossed over from.
I mean, unfair
first
advantage, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's got the force.
He could use the force.
Yeah, he's just.
But I mean, I did it in 4 hours 15, and the winning time was 2 hours 27 minutes.
Unbelievable.
That's like 14
so
mile an hour.
You were pretty slow in that case.
Yeah, basically.
It was pretty slow, but until you... compared to the winner, but compared to the people who were still coming past at the point where we'd seen Matt nearly finish and then go back to where we saw him initially, the people there looked knackered. And they had another 12 and a half miles to go.
I finished in the top 4,000, so...
That's how many people did it? Do we know?
4,000.
4,000. 20,000, I think, in total.
Wow. That's it's impressive, Matt. I think I'm sure everyone listening and from us here, I think that's like a
congrats.
Very proud of you, Matty.
Well done.
Yeah, so I'm having my first beer in 7 weeks.
What are you drinking?
You can see it, but I'm drinking
Four Pure
Brewing Company. Brewing Company. See, it's going to be a long podcast now. One sip, I'm down.
Yeah, yeah, that's after four months. Matty, one more thing to talk about that you've been up to. You went on the Tone Mob podcast last week.
I did.
Was that for you? I listened back to it. It was really good.
Oh, is it out yet?
It is out. Yes, it's available. So if you don't know, Tone Mob is run by a guy called Blake, who does nice interviews with people from around the world about their guitar stuff. Do check it out. Our own Matt Knight was on there this week talking about mainly Boss stuff, wasn't it? But also some Guitar Nerds bits.
Yeah, because Blake, yeah, does Tone Mob. He also does the podcast with Brian Wampler, so he knows Brian really well. And I met him at NAMM. We got introduced through Mark through email. And then when I kind of met him and I talked to him, I was like, this guy's phone book, he knows everyone. Anyone who puts, yeah, solder to a soldering iron, basically, in America, he kind of knows. And he's sort of at like the front of this great community in America, and it was really nice to kind of talk to him. And we've been talking back and forth quite a lot, and he's actually doing some things for Guitar Nerds in terms of hooking us up with some people, so that was really nice. And it was just good to kind of, I suppose, get more of the Boss stuff over in a podcast, because that's he's really interested in that. And because we obviously try and rein it in a little bit over,
we don't
on
let
the
you talk
Guitar
about
Nerds.
It you're on a very short leash when it comes to Boss plugs throughout the episodes.
And he had a couple of kind of like questions about what I do and kind of the Boss history. So it's nice to talk about that. And yeah, that was really good. And I've actually been then doing my own interviews for Patreon content as well.
Yeah, we should talk.
Just got
we
should talk on that.
So. Talk about that quickly. We don't like to kind of plug the Patreon too much in the episode, but there is some really good stuff going up over the next couple of weeks. So you had an interview up last week, didn't you, Matt? Who was that with?
It was a guy named Tim who does Mojo Stomp Boxes in Australia, and is probably, I would say, the world's number one collector of Boss pedals.
Yes, very impressive collection, even down to the merchandise, which I think is what you talked about more than the pedals themselves on the actual episode.
Yes. He he messaged me on Saturday. He's just picked up a Roland Jet Phase, which is one of the first pedals they ever made. Serial number 28.
Wow, that's impressive, isn't it?
Wait, so Roland, how long were they making Roland pedals before Boss?
About 1 year.
Right, okay.
1-2 years.
Yeah.
Do you know the reason behind the decision to create a separate brand just to deal with that?
I think Mr. Kakahashi just wanted to separate it in some way, shape or form. I think they decided that they wanted a guitar section, and then they kind of wanted their sort of more high-end instrument section, because I hadn't really done anything with pianos at that point. It was more like, because the other thing I didn't realize with like Space Echoes, they did loads of, there's loads of great mixers that have got like spring reverbs and stuff built into them.
You need to add that to the ungiggable rig.
But
it
was still Roland amplification and the Roland synth pickup. None of those things were owned by,
I don't know. I'm assuming there's some sort of internal politics that I'm maybe not aware of.
I'd say if anything, the stupid idea was to start releasing amps under the name Boss. What sort of stupid idea is that?
I know.
Nah, they're good.
They're terrible as well.
I'm thinking about getting a Katana. We can talk about that off podcast, Matty.
Yeah, we can talk about that off.
When I move,
I only realised the other day that the big Katana has legs at the front.
Mate, all of these Boss products got legs
that you can. Yeah. Oh, that was terrible. It has little legs at the front, two little
so you can
metal
tilt it
legs.
Back.
Oh, and you can tilt it back. Yeah.
What? Like, why would you put that on a product that's like £400? Like, you didn't need to do that. That costs money.
I think that's great.
No, I know it's great. Oh, I see. That's what I'm saying. It's brilliant. But like, that you don't need to do that on a product of that price. It was like you could have not had that, saved the money, and charged the same price.
Yeah.
No one would have cared, but yeah, what a great touch,
neat little thing. Fires it up at head height.
Yeah,
it's good.
Perfect.
It's good.
Yeah.
And so just to quickly wrap up on that, Patreon going up this week is an interview that I did with Mary Spender, who is a YouTuber, blogger, guitar player. I guess you'll actually hear in the interview she describes herself as a singer-songwriter first, but then she does a load of stuff in the guitar community as well. And really interesting. She talks about her meeting with John Mayer, chance meeting with John Mayer at NAMM, which is cool. And just, we talk about, you know, playing guitar on the internet and stuff. It's
cool.
Pretty interesting. That's coming on probably Wednesday, something like that.
I'm not a Patreon subscriber, so I won't listen to it.
I will send it to you via Kazaa.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Kazaa?
Yeah.
What is that?
What?
What do you mean, what is that?
What is... What?
What's Kazaa?
What?
Come on, mate. You're older than me. You remember Kazaa.
You should know what Kazaa is.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Napster? Familiar with Napster?
Yeah.
Napster. Kazaa came after Napster.
Right. Yeah. I thought Madster came after Napster.
I'd never used that one. It must have been some weird Watford thing.
It was only for Oasis.
You could only share Captain Everything
no,
files.
No, Madster, Matt, wasn't Madster the Offspring one?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, they sort of were really pro it, weren't they?
Yeah.
Anyway. Indeed.
Beat the punks.
You were correct. Joe Branton, what have you been up to this week?
See? I've rebuilt my pedal board.
Okay,
oh, that
do
was
tell.
Pretty good. I had room. I had some room, so I moved some things around, and I've come to the conclusion that I only need 8 pedals, and they were all Boss.
Come on, we can't give him any more free advertising.
So
just
I decided
keep, just keep
to
handing it in. Just keep handing it in.
So I decided to jazz it up a bit and change some things out.
You messaged us saying you've got one spare space on the board, and I think all of our answers were sarcastic.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Not
useless.
At all. I thought you should put the Charlie Foxtrot on there.
Yeah, that is true.
You because I mean you've been for a long time. You were like you punks thinking that this isn't a giggable pedal, and because me and Mark were like, this is. I mean, it's a lot of fun to have at home, but you can't actually use it.
No,
and you were like, yeah, you can. And I went, okay, why don't you use that? And you were like, don't be stupid.
It's not giggable.
No, it's not giggable at all. I cleared some more room and I decided to put my Line 6 M9 on my pedal
board.
Yes. So now I have 7 Boss pedals and a Line 6 M9.
You've gone for the ultimate guitar shop, like box standard pedals.
Like demo rig.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. I was looking at it sound. I was like, oh, this is really dull. Look, well, there's a Tech 21 Sans Amp VT on
there. Basically,
that's
like
you've got that hidden underneath.
Of all the boutique pedals we get sent and all the stuff we got access to, you've got 7 Boss pedals and a Line 6 M9.
I was looking at all the cool stuff that I've got, like in boxes, like that. What was it? Like Dr. Nightmare? That's not the right name.
Yeah, Dr. Nightmare.
Electric Death.
No, you're Electric Death.
I've got that Electric Death.
The
like
Watchman.
Yeah, the Watchman Cotwa. And I've got like the Electro Faustus. Guitar Disruptor.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Yeah, I've got loads of really weird, wicked, interesting pedals in this big box. And then, like, the stuff I actually use, I was like, this is all rubbish and
MT2, MD2.
Classic pedals. Even that would be better than the boring stuff I have.
But that's true.
But that was good. It was nice to do a bit of a rewire. And I got a new bass.
What did you get?
Well, we know this story. I told you.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Is that? Have you got it now?
I've got it, yeah.
So are you using it now?
I am using it now.
Have you used it live yet?
I have not. I've used it in a rehearsal.
Did we talk about what it is?
No.
Did we? Okay. Well,
we haven't mentioned it at all.
Okay.
So I have got a...
You took the plunge.
Yeah.
In a big way.
Well...
In a really big way.
It's a... Retails at $4,200
unbelievable
Australian or New Zealand dollars.
Okay, so what is that? What's that?
3.5, something like that.
Okay,
maybe more, 3.8. I got a Stonefield M series 4-string. Yeah, it's the best thing ever. If listeners, if you have not seen Stonefield instruments, they are. There is nothing like them. Go check them out.
They're about as odd as you are, basically.
Yeah, they're totally brilliant.
That is. We could get sued for that, mate. I would reel it in. They're not that weird.
No, they're great. So they have a headstock, but they are. The headstock is just bolts.
They're just like pegs at the top.
You shouldn't have to like start a sentence with "It has a headstock." But
they're strung from the and tuned from the bridge via a Tom Stanley, who's the owner of Stonefield, Tom Stanley tuning system, which is the name of the
why didn't you just call it Stonefield?
Because you can buy it separately, and it's
oh right, okay, gotcha.
They're kind of a bit like, they remind me of you know the monorail bridge pieces that Ibanez do. So they're kind of like that, but obviously with a fine tuner on the bridge. So it's got that's the tuning system. Then the bridge itself is a bit like a double bass bridge. So it's wooden.
Yeah.
Yes.
But where double bass bridges are normally floating, this is glued to the body, and where they're normally like a cheap ply, because you know they're often replaced. This is made out of like a thick native New Zealand ebony, so they're much more reliable. And the idea is that Thomas Stanley doesn't like any other material
bases.
He doesn't like plastic and metal coming into contact, you know, being there to let the strings vibrate through.
Okay.
So the idea is everything's going to be wood. So the nut is wood as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Obviously, the frets aren't. The frets are stainless steel, I think. And the woods.
I think you should have gone for wooden frets to see how it lasts.
That. Yeah. Imagine that. But the construction of the neck is incredible, and even things like the how the electrics are fitted on the back are, rather than having a large cavity cut out, there are three sort of separate individual circular cavities, so that there's the smallest amount of missing wood essentially from the instrument. And the most interesting thing is all stone fields come with just a single pickup in the middle of the body, a single soap bar, and a load of EQ controls. So you would think it was,
well, probably treble middle bass.
Because no, active.
You'd think it was active. Oh, right. Yeah, of course. I mean, it must be active.
But it's not. It's passive.
Okay.
With a three-band, not just a three-band EQ control, you've got bass and treble dealt with separately. You then have, on the top horn, a mid-shift.
Oh, is that
which
what
is
that
is? A six-way mid-shift selector, which deletes a certain range of mid-frequencies from low to high. And then you have a push-pull bass control, and when you pull it, it changes the frequency. So when it's suppressed, you're dealing with your high mids. When you pull it, you're dealing with your low mids.
How does that even work?
It just sort of different ways of scooping. So it's just a very finely tuned way of scooping, because people rarely ever boost.
No,
mids.
I've got that. I just wonder how it works if it's not active.
Because it's all cut.
Okay.
So the treble is your traditional tone.
So it must just be different, like, resistors in there, maybe.
So the bass one actually works the other way round.
Right.
So it's...
Oh, you don't roll it off.
You roll it the other
roll
way.
Roll it on.
You roll it on and
to
it
cut.
Would, to cut bass.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And the treble control works like
see,
a
that does
one.
That doesn't surprise me, actually, because that's how tone pots work.
Yeah.
Is you are rolling off... That you're rolling off the tone.
Well, yeah, that's how all passive tone works.
Yeah, sure.
So that's what this does, but with isolated frequencies, which is great.
It's very clever.
Yeah, it is really clever, and it means that you've got something that's completely versatile. You've got all the versatility of an active bass without the noise of, and to be honest, like the datedness of a 9-volt battery in an instrument. That is, like, that's not a stand the test of time sort of thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just difficult, isn't it? Because if you want cut and boost,
of course, but boosting things, mean the concept of a 9-volt.
Well,
we should be moving to a stage where we're rechargeable
lithium ion
batteries.
9 volts in an instrument. It's
just
so cheap
and nasty. Do you want to be plugging your guitar in USB?
Yeah, I guess so. But you know, just the idea of like a sort of acid leaking cheap Tesco's battery in a £2,000 instrument.
Yeah, that is true.
It is weird. But like you say, I mean, who's going to want the, you know, the really the people that are going to, and I think in general, instruments that have got a you know, active circuitry tend to be more, you know, modern guitars, modern players.
Yeah.
But are even people who are into like modern instruments plugging it into your laptop to charge the battery?
Yeah.
You know,
I know
how many people plugging it into your unplugging your iPhone and plugging in your.
But you say that
your bass. Is that what people are going
to
want
to
do?
Well, these are the people that are moving on to Positive Grid, Line 6 Variax.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
Stuff like that. I mean, they've already got rid of their amps in favour of bringing a laptop and plug and going straight into the PA. You know, that this is just an... I mean, most of these people now are using, like, those pre-built tone profiles by, like, famous people that you can download and bring anywhere with you. This is kind of... Just, you know, this. If you're going to do that, if you're okay with having your tone on an SD card, then I think you'd probably be okay with
just plugging
in
USB.
Yeah. But either way, the Stonefield base is really wicked. They do cool things because they have a custom shop and off-the-shelf stuff.
Yeah.
And in their custom shop, you can choose the colour of the bridge and the cutouts on the back.
Right.
Because they're a sort of...
What did you get? Sort of like purple or something? Pink?
They're Air Force-grade aluminium, so you can have different right. sort of... That sort of no, I've just got black on the right. On the one. I went very tasteful.
Bit boring.
Well, it's tasteful. Tasteful. Okay. And
resale value.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And really nice, like a really lovely like zebra wood fretboard. And it's just all over gorgeous. The bass is absolutely phenomenal and it sounds incredible.
I need to come around and plug it in at your house because I have played one and I wasn't that impressed by the neck profile. Oh, but the, I think with some time, it would be interesting to see how I get on with it.
That's the other thing. I've gone for the biggest neck profile because it does...
They're kind of square, aren't they?
Yeah, but there are two sorts of, right. of net profile. So you can get like a you can get wide traditional spacing, or you can get Hofner spacing, which I was really tempted.
Oh, which is narrow.
Yeah, but still with the neck being as deep. Now these necks make like 51p basses look like Ibanez SRs.
Yeah, well, I mean they're not like a normal guitar profile; they're square basically.
Yeah, and they're massive.
Yeah,
they're absolutely huge, which I found really easy to adapt to and very comfortable. I was speaking to Tom Stanley. He was saying the reason that he's only gone for one pickup on the bass is because he tried having two, but he's big on like weight and trying to make everything perfectly balanced.
Probably put a big chunky old neck on it then.
Well, it worked. Not having the weight of tuners on the headstock.
That's true. Tuners are the thing that will bring it down. So
yeah, exactly.
I want to give it a go. I want to try.
He's actually just introduced because one of the only problems Stonefield have is that of course their basses are. Like $4,000 and mine's not even the most expensive tier.
Wow.
And so a lot of players have said these basses are really great but
..
I can't afford one, or I'd love to get one but I'd never gig it, you know. There are those concerns. So he's recently introduced the C series of Stonefield basses, and the C series just has a conventional tone circuit
right
on it. And there's a couple of other sacrifices, like you don't get a wood nut on the C series. The wood is slightly less figured, but those are going. There are a couple of Bass Direct at the moment.
Okay,
and they're like $2,000.
Okay, well, so it's slightly more affordable.
But you can get them for $1,800 as well, depending on what features you go
for. So a GAC selling them?
No.
Really?
Right. Yeah. Okay. They're, I think, two boutique for GAX.
Right, okay.
GAX bass department is very sort of, sort of £500.
Yeah, sure.
But basses for up and coming bass players. It's not like Bass Direct is like a proper.
Yeah.
Boutique only bass thing.
Yeah, exactly. So they fit perfectly on the shelf.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll maybe do a little video
demo
on them.
Yeah.
Because they are super cool. And there's loads to show off. And they're such a new company. And. Yeah, it'd be cool.
That'd be good, definitely.
Just bring it up with you next time we film, Joe.
Yeah,
I will. Do a little video.
Do it. Just a couple of bits from me this week. Added a new pedal to my board in that took away the Pedal Power Effects JCM 800 emulator, mainly because I wasn't using it. Like, I kind of feel that the guitar I play at home is completely different to the sort of guitar that I would play live and listen to. Like, at home, I really like doing, like, Steve Croppery type stuff, like, more clean type stuff. I don't need a JCM 800 emulator for that. So that's gone off up to Matty for comparison shootout videos with other 800 pedals. And I've replaced it on the board with the JHS Pulp and Peel compressor, which sounds unbelievable. So good.
Yeah.
I never thought that I'd be like, yeah, what I need is a compressor. But honestly, that thing sounds so good.
Even I thought that sounded
good.
You
hate compressors.
I just think that I don't get it at all. And I thought that sound when we did that video, I thought that sounded really, really good.
It sounds really, really
nice. Compressors have sort of gone beyond just being something that compresses your signal, really.
They're very much like Make Gooderer pedals, pretty much. Yeah. Like you could leave that thing on the whole time and it would be fine.
I've had the Bright Onion baking powder on my pedal board the last few days and just leave it on all the time.
Yep.
Set it minimal, that's it. I think just because it adds a bit of depth and, you know, just kind of almost like a little bit more bottom end.
Yeah.
If you set it really minimal, you don't have to have it like maximum squash. Yeah. But the great thing about that is it's got that XLR output as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I was actually talking to Jamie Dore, who works with Matt at Boss, about this the other day. And I've recently changed from using the Boss CS3 to using the Boss
BC1X.
Yeah. And I'm it's a great compressor, but I'm at the moment still, and I'll get there, but I'm struggling to find the right way to use it for me, because, and I realized I actually don't really like compression. What I've been using is a Make Gooder pedal.
Yes, and just leaving it on the whole time.
Yeah, but old school compressors squash badly.
Yeah.
They add an edge. They add something to your tone, a little bit of bite. They do something that actually they're not supposed to be doing, because they're trying to compress, but they do it so badly that they end up doing something else, which yeah. I actually quite like. And I think things like the Dynacomp do that really well. The little baking powder that Matt's got does it really well. The Pulp and Pill does it really well. But the BC1X is actually like a proper multi-band compressor.
Yeah.
And of course, no matter what I do with the controls, it's because the controls are intelligent and they're designed to interact. I can't get it to cock up.
Be nasty.
I can't get it to squash my sound. It's always doing like the right thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'll get there. I just kind of think I need like another preamp pedal now.
Yeah, yeah. Just make one. Make yourself a Joe Branton signature Make Gooder.
I tell you what, speaking of preamp pedals, someone on the Facebook group this week posted up that they tried one of those new Tech 21 preamp pedals. Not Tech 21, sorry. Moore preamp pedals.
Said it wasn't particularly good.
And said it wasn't very good.
Very disappointing.
I was disappointed as well. But someone else, I think...
There are 10.
Yeah. So someone else said, well, did you try turning off the speaker emulator? Because apparently it sounded really good going into a desk or going into a computer, however they were using it, but sounded really bad going in through the front end.
Yeah.
So maybe the speaker emulator wasn't off. I don't know. I'm really keen to try them because I think they're really cool looking pedals.
Yeah.
They look really versatile.
Yeah.
And
I want to get that the little power amp that they're doing.
That's just going to be your rig.
The smallest guitar rig
ever. Yeah. One last bit of thing for me this week. I found my first ever guitar pick
in a
box. Like, I've been going, because we're moving house at some point in the next few weeks.
That photo was so manky.
I know, it's horrible. I just found a tin of like old guitar picks, and there was a few in there. There was a Weezer guitar pick. Don't remember where that came from. And a few other like old plectrums that I kind of remember owning. I found my first ever PV medium plastic like pick, like the most basic starter guitar kit pick. But it looks like, you know, when you get down to like the last bit of usable soap from a bar of soap, because it's like white and like shrunk down. It looks like that. And I was just like, yeah, that's where it all started, man. I was like,
so really? Listeners, show us your manky picks.
Show us your first ever guitar pick if you've still got it, because I've got mine.
Speaking of manky picks, I had that horrible moment where all of mine fell onto the floor when I was sat on the toilet this morning. So I didn't put them back in my pocket. I left them to the side, and I'll probably chuck them in the bin.
Yeah, back pocket picks when you sit
grim.
On the toilet. Not
so
good.
Grim.
There has actually been something else going on this week, but from the state of the news, you would never know. Music Messer happened this week. We'll talk about it in a second, but should we dive into
Nude Gladiator Competition?
Good.
Oh my god. Music Messer.
Yeah, Music Messer. Nothing happened, basically.
No, I know, but things have happened.
Think there's been some news.
There is, you know, the most important bit of news is kind of at the top of this list, but there is one thing that is more important.
Go on.
Paul Reed Smithercaster.
Yes, happened. Yeah. This, like, I only saw this on my way home from work on Facebook. So John Mayer's been seen playing a Paul Reed Smith that's basically a Strat.
It's a Stratocaster with a Paul Reed Smith neck,
but the body's not quite a Strat,
not
is it?
Quite.
No, but they used to do something similar, right?
They
used to have a three pickup.
They did.
Was it called like the EG or
it
something?
Was.
Like the, or wasn't it the early Santana used to have?
No, it,
be that?
No, it was called the EG. I want to say 215.
Was
or
it not
like
part
that?
Of the CE series as it's a bolt on?
No, it was. So they did it a long time ago in the American Strats, but they also introduced it into SEs.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Probably around,
if they do it in SE.
Well, they already did it.
I know, but this time around people would care.
Well, yeah, possibly. And it was just a strap, basically, and they did a 3-pickup 1 yeah. And a...
EG, it was EG.
Yeah, what was it just called EG
electric
standard?
Guitar.
Yeah, I think it was just called PRS EG.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's...
The
yeah,
Pursuk.
The Pursuk. 3 strap pickups with a strap plate on it, with a 5-way selector, as far as I can remember, and yes, a volume and tone. Like, pretty much, people are kind of flipping out about this John Mayer thing, and PRS have... already done it for like did it years ago for like £500.
Yeah.
So this time John Mayer's playing it, so people
Well,
care.
That's true. I mean, it is slightly different, and I think that this one is intentionally, it's almost a troll, I think. Like, I think they've gone, right, how can we really wind Fender up? Okay, let's make a guitar that's exactly like a Strat.
Like the one that he used to play before they fell out with him.
Well, the comments on there are like, did he really fall out with Fender? Or
well,
what?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know.
I wonder if it'll be obscenely priced, like his amplifier that was like £6,000.
Well, possibly. But, I mean, people should just go and buy those SE EGs. They were really good. And at the time, no one bought
no,
them.
No, people should go and buy the SE Exotics, because they are probably the best value for money of any guitar on the market at the moment.
Really nice. Really
totally
nice.
Separately from
but,
this.
Yeah, maybe we'll have some proper John Mayer news in the coming weeks, then, if there's an actual model coming out. But
I mean, they would be mad not to ride the wave.
Well, they didn't.
Because people buy anything John Mayer.
That is true.
He's not quite...
Except for the amp. I mean, it
well,
is six
yeah,
grand.
But that was a lot of money. But, you know, whilst he's not quite, you know, at the level of, like, Joe Bonamassa or Slash or... I'd say that's maybe it.
No,
you know,
he
maybe.
Is. He is. He's up there.
I think he's like probably the tier below.
I would say he's up there with Joe Bonamassa. I don't know about Slash.
I mean,
in terms of,
you know, who
regular
is
public.
Marketability.
Indeed.
His guitar tech is Stevie Ray Vaughan's guitar tech.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't. Well, not anymore, obviously.
Well, yeah, no, obviously not anymore, but was. And he shared a photo on Instagram, that's and it was really like dumb. John Mayer at a gig backstage. You know how, like, you see these rig rundowns and someone's got, like, one guitar boat, maybe two if they're, like, a massive band, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we use this one, and then all these are backups. He literally had, I'd say, maybe 60 guitars.
Whoa.
Backstage.
What?
I'm just like,
how many songs
why?
Is he doing? Yeah, why would you possibly need 60 songs?
All those alternative tunings that he uses.
But surely, maximum, he's probably only doing 20. Is he not doing 20 songs?
I tell you what, if you had the opportunity to have as many guitars as you wanted, and at any point you could just go, you know what, I'm just going to play a different one.
Well, yeah, maybe. I guess like that's how you keep yourself entertained on the tour, isn't it?
Well,
like, just use a different guitar.
And also, if what you're known for is being a... guitar person and people go to see your shows as much to see you play
the guitars.
Guitar, as much as they do, you know, I'm sure that's like the deal with like Joe Bonamassa, especially.
Yeah,
100%. You know, people go and watch him, and like, you know, like Gary Moore as well, people like that. They go and watch the guitars as much as anything else, and it's all part of the show. That's the way I've always seen stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Another bit of big news that actually isn't on this list.
There's nothing bigger than the big.
There's a fair bit of news. Matt, you probably know about this. Chapman Guitars released a whole new lineup of guitars this week. The Standard and Pro Series, is that right?
Yeah, so I think we talked about it briefly from NAMM. They've basically discontinued everything and then relaunched 29 new models. So yeah, there's I was talking to Matt, who is the managing director now, I think, of Chapman Guitars, and they're still a really small team. I think there's only six people that work for them, and they're basically saying that they've kind of shuffled things around in the factories and where things are made, and they do like a standard production line and then like a more pro production line. And I actually recently tried out the Pro Series Rabea baritone, and
that is
amazing.
That is the jewel in the lineup, I think, for me. I really liked the old stuff, and I wasn't as blown away as I wanted to be with some of the stuff in the new lineup, but the Rabea one for me was absolutely brilliant. And
just the overall feel of the guitars, I think, has improved from what I tried before. And I think what's
great
is that they've... Yeah, they did. And that's the thing. I thought for the money, they were just awesome value for money.
Yeah.
But now they feel way more pro. And I actually think one of the great things is that they don't, like the 8-string, for example, doesn't particularly lend itself just to metal. It's kind of like more designed to be like an all-rounder as well. Because I think some people are like, I don't necessarily want to use an 8-string just for like really heavy metal. But, you know, they've got like the ML1 Pro, which is like their kind of Strat shape with three single coils, comes in like a really classy white. They're doing a Flying V now. The Ghost Fret looks really nice. The Burst is like a two-tone burst that's like burst from like the out to like in. So like the middle section is white, and then the top two halves are a different color. But yeah, that for me, I think you're right, Joe. I think the best one has got to be those Rabea ones.
And they're also offering like standard and modern versions of stuff, aren't they? So like the ML3, which is the Tele, there's like a slightly more retro one and a slightly more modern one as well, I think.
Yeah.
But as far as I understand, the pro versions are still made at World Instruments, whatever it's called.
Yes.
World Music Co.
World Music Co. And then the other ones are made in where, Indonesia, is that right, Matt?
I think so. I think it's a new factory for them on this one. And I know from talking to Matt that he'd been back and forth to Korea a lot over the quality control on the pros, and they were like, you know, we really want to get these like absolutely spot on.
They look amazing.
Trying one of the pro baritones, I was literally blown away, because they're not going to be like mega cheap guitars. I think the Rabea one, for example, is going to be about £1,200.
Well, doesn't it? It's bare knuckle, isn't it, in the bridge, and Seymour Duncan in the neck. The listeners, if you haven't seen the Rabea signature one, it's a single cut Tele sort of body shape, but
chambered, like contoured.
What do you call it?
The top is contoured,
whatever. Carved. But it's like a two pickup situation, so you have kind of a single coil right in the neck position, and then you have a big humbucker sort of tight up against the bridge, which is a really cool kind of unique ish sort of pickup configuration that just really works and really lends itself to versatility. I think they're great.
Good to see them doing some more. I guess the other ones are going to be a bit more affordable as well. They come down to like $399 or something like that.
I think that's probably why
I was like, oh, it was just because I think the images I saw were a lot of the cheap ones, and they look like you'd expect. Sort of
even those, I was blown away by. I mean, I haven't seen them in the flesh. I've only seen pictures, but I thought they looked amazing for the money that they are. Yeah. I think it was $399, but Matt, you might want to confirm that. But
go on, Matt. Go on.
I was going to say I haven't actually double checked the prices on some of the retailers yet, because I know they've only really now just hit the stores. But they from what they were before, I think they're maintaining a similar price point, which is actually pretty affordable.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I look forward to trying them out in GAC, Joe.
Yeah, right. We should move on. Line 6 have announced there's been...
Oh, my goodness.
Indeed.
Well, I mean, my goodness.
You came close to...
Almost saying this last week.
Oh, did I? Yes, I did.
You almost said this last week, and it probably would have been fine. We might have had a scoop. We might have been the first people.
We would have been.
But it would... I think it might have just been after the embargo.
Yeah, this is it, because we recorded on Sunday and the embargo came off at 6 p.m. on Monday night.
Right.
So we would have had the exclusive, but they were still messing around with when the embargo was coming off. Yeah. So we played it safe last week.
A third bit of really big news that happened, I think, outside of Music Messer.
This is terrific news!
Line 6 have announced the Helix LT, a smaller, more affordable version of the much-lauded Helix.
And so we have our first sub-£1,000 all-in-one amp and effects multi-unit.
Not true. DV Mark is less than £1,000.
Oh, yes. Okay,
what
fine.
About Boss GT 100? Come on.
No.
Line 6 Pod 2.
Anyway, this is super cool. So, and what's great is obviously you're looking at like £1,200 for the ordinary Helix, but what's great about the Helix LT is you're sacrificing virtually none of the features.
Yeah, I don't really understand what the difference is.
So the chassis is now going to be is bent steel rather than the other one was like aluminium grade. Yep. And had a really cool... The foot pedal on the proper Helix was great. I don't know what it was made of. It looked like stone.
Yes, they were quite a fancy-looking unit, whereas this one looks much more utilitarian.
Yes, it's more functional. It's cheaply built. I mean, not to its detriment. It's still a really good quality piece of kit.
Yeah.
But yeah, you sacrifice that, a couple of ins, and other than that, it does everything.
So, exactly. Go on, Matt.
I was going to say, I think they've cut most of the cost by taking out the 12 individual LCD screens above each foot button.
Yeah. Yeah, that,
like,
I mean...
pedal's costing a lot of money. Well, you wanted 15 little screens on it. Oh, just take them out.
Yeah, just lose it.
Because, I mean, looking at the spec sheet, that's like the processing power, the amount of the effects, everything is the same.
Is it running exactly the same software, do we know? It's like, it's all just exactly the same?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you'll be able to use the same, any patches that you created for Helix, you'll be able to use on the Helix LT. Yeah, it's great. Of course, they recently did a big upgrade just the week before. They introduced a firmware upgrade, the 2.0 upgrade for Helix, which I was excited about because they introduced a load of extra bass effects,
caps,
and amps as well.
Well, there we go. This is your pedal board solution.
I just get a Helix LT. I know. This could be my pedal board solution. It's great.
I can't ever imagine just your Stonefield into a Helix LT into a PA system.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a bit of a 180.
You've finally made your transition into dad bands on Instagram. Bands of dad. Or rigs of dad.
Yeah.
Rigs of dad.
Rigs of dad on Instagram.
Joe Branton's multi-effects odyssey.
I tell you what else was announced. Well, it wasn't announced this week, but I think we saw the first sort of the first real pictures and videos and stuff of that new Headrush pedal board unit.
Yeah, well, it announced last year.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, but I don't think we've seen, like, I mean, the first, like, demo, like, I mean, I think it was more a sort of teaser demo thing. I hadn't seen any actual footage of it before until this week.
They managed to get Sarah Longfield to do the demo for it.
It looked really good, I thought.
It's kind of a slightly more affordable version of the Helix.
I mean, it's not like that much more affordable. It's still like $899.
Right,
but because Akai bought 11 Rack, I think, did they?
So 11 Rack is part of Pro Tools.
Right.
Who are distributed by... I can't remember. There is some sort of
distribution. There's some sort of link, because that's what it basically... Because there was the 11 Rack like unit that was available to buy, what, like five, six
people
years ago?
People still swear by that. A lot of people really like the sound of the 11 Rack.
My complaint with it was it was always really, really complicated.
Yeah.
Really complicated. And, you know... Me and Matt sat down with it a couple of times, and I was just like, I just don't know what's going on.
I mean,
on
even
here.
I gave up on that.
Yeah. So it's cool that they've obviously gone, well, we've got this technology, let's put it into something usable. And I think that's great, but it's still $899. You know, it doesn't seem, especially with the Helix LT coming out.
Well,
now,
they obviously didn't know about that.
Well, maybe not. Yeah, it does seem a little bit
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, they priced it to undercut the Helix.
Well, of course
it did, exactly
yeah.
like yeah. the Helix. So yeah. it's there's no secret about who they're trying to copycat here. Even the way the screen works with you being able to like drag effects around yeah. with your finger and stuff is exactly the same as the Helix. But 899, I think maybe if the LT had come out, they'd have put it out at like 699
or 499. You know, if they'd done 499, then you know,
if they up, did but... if they did it at 499, that would beat up the entire market.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. One bit of news, which is actually the only official news from Music Messe. The only thing that I saw was like, this company launches this at Music Messe. Like, there was nothing else apart from this. Positive Grid, who we've talked a lot about in the last few weeks, have expanded the BIOS series with the BIOS modulation.
It was only last week that we spoke about the BIOS delay.
Yes, yeah, and the drive preceded that, didn't it?
That's
so
right.
This is, again, it looks like it's exactly the same box as the other one. Matt, have we got an idea on how many different effects are in there?
I'm not sure on the total amount of effects. It's going to be a similar price, $349. But yeah, basically works on exactly the same idea as the other ones. That you can kind of go down to component level on a bunch of different types of effects. I suppose with this one, you've got a wider range than you would say like delay, because there's so many different types of modulation effects, fully MIDI integrated. I really kind of want to get one and just have a little bit more of a mess around with it. The amps I'm not so bothered about, but the pedals I'm kind of like, I really want to see how kind of far you can push it, really.
This is the one for me that I think is really likely to take off, because, you know, who else is there doing something like this at the moment? I mean, you've got the Strymon Mobius and even Tide H9. You know, what else is there really at that
sort of...
But
there's nothing that does... to that level, absolutely,
you know, but in terms of modulation and like that high quality modulation, there's not a huge amount. You know, if you want like a banging chorus pedal or what, you know, it's a relatively open market, and I think they could make it work really well,
definitely. And because you can have four presets just available on the floor in front of you, that is all of your modulation
absolutely.
Dealt with, and you can just the that,
which isn't something
that
you can do with the it's not something you can do with the Mobius unless you go in through MIDI, is it?
No,
you got the
no,
favorite
not really.
Switch, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose yeah. so. Yeah.
I mean, I think the thing is as well is what I always like about that's what I kind of like about the H9 is that for most people. You're probably going to have a couple of drives. You're probably going to have a couple of overdrives and maybe a fuzz or like a booster. You're going to have a couple of delay pedals easily. Most people will, you know, but you're not going to have a phaser, a chorus, a flanger, a tremolo.
Aren't you?
Rotary.
No, but like all separate pedals. I don't think there's many boards I see now that have got a separate chorus, phaser, flanger.
No, definitely
like
not.
Like one of every type.
Yeah, maybe.
Most people kind of go
people
some
do,
sort of like...
Yeah, people will do it with an H9 or an M5 or Mobius yeah. or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not... Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it like that. People do have maybe four or five different drive types, but they don't... Hardly anyone these days has flanger, no. phaser, chorus.
I think, for me, the only thing about them is they look... pretty chunky in terms
they
of
are
like
huge.
Actual size.
Yeah, they are huge.
It looks like the same size as an iPad, well, which is like same, massive for a pedal board.
It's the same chassis that they use for their delay and for the drive one. And I saw one when they brought them into the shop for us to have a bit of a play around with. And that was they're really well constructed. The controls feel great on them. They're everything's really great about
good
how
knobs.
They're built. Good knobs. But yeah, it was massive, really deep as well.
Right.
Like so it would sit really tall on your pedal board.
I'm wondering whether they're kind of going for like more of a studio vibe.
But you don't need it in the studio because you'll just use BIOS effects.
That is
true.
It's true.
Yeah.
Interesting. I really want to get my hands on because I've not seen any of these in the flesh, and I really want to like just see how they're built and get a listen. And
they are really
get a feel for them.
Really good. They're definitely the thing that would be. I think the Positive Grid stuff in general would be the thing that would stop me from buying a Helix.
Right. Okay, just a collection of those.
Well, yeah, just all of them. Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
On a sort of wider note, I think it is a shame that like nothing really has happened at Music Messe this year.
No,
like there was
not much going on.
A couple of years ago, I seem to remember it was we had a great like a really exciting
podcast. I don't think it was last year. I think it was maybe the year before.
I look back at the site at things tagged with Music Messer, and I think it was last year actually, where there was loads of stuff.
Okay.
This year, there's literally been one product that's had a press release.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah. At work, I did loads of work in advance, setting up like a sort of category page for Music Messer blog. I got a designer to make loads of images so that I could have it at the top of the website. Loads of stuff ready to go. Like, everyone on Twitter today, all day, we're making sure, because we're not there, so we weren't there. So we've got to make sure we get the news first and get the blogs out as they come. So 3 days later, we'd done two articles.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing going on.
Yeah, a piano and a keyboard came out.
Sweet.
For the TV.
It is a bit of a weird time to have a show that you're trying to get people to announce big news at, because, you know, obviously NAMM, you've got the fact that it's, you know, it's right on. Actually, I think that's a bit of a weird time as well.
NAMM is, and has always been, for longer term initially was designed for longer term strategies for retailers to plan their buying across the year up to Christmas. Music Messer, I think, is just a bit weird because, like, it just seems unnecessary. Like, all the stuff is, you know, most people do their product announcements at NAMM, a couple of bits at Summer NAMM, but like NAMM seems to see us through the entire year now, basically. And
I mean, I guess
if people want to release other stuff, they just do a tweet. You know,
I guess it's them trying to you know, drum up a bit of interest for the European builders, but I just don't know if. No.
But there's localized guitar shows. You know, we went to the London Guitar Show. We're talking about maybe going to Fuzz in Sweden, which is, you know, got some kind of like Scandinavian builders and stuff going to it, and loads of brands going there. So I don't know. Do we need Music Messer?
Oh, I don't know.
We need it?
Well, I mean, look at Line 6. Do you think they released the Helix exactly at the time of Music Messer, but with no affiliation to Music Messer? And did they suffer at all for it?
No, people loved it.
Exactly. I mean, I had to shoehorn the Helix announcement into the Music Messer thing just so there was something on the page.
Tag it on. Let's do one last bit of news. Lunar Stone Pedals have announced the True Overdrive 2. And I think we've got one here. Is that right?
I'm so excited that we've got one here.
Yes, one arrived the other day, ready for Matt Knight to do a demo on it. Matt, do you want to tell us a little bit about the Todd 2?
The Todd 2. I was a bit confused when I saw Todd, because it made me think of Carl Martin at first.
Oh, yeah, they did the Todd.
So I think they have actually got a pedal called the Todd, so they should probably avoid the Todd.
Well, I mean, they've
much.
Called it the True Overdrive 2. We're the ones calling it the Todd.
Yeah.
No, they actually list it as Todd 1 on their website.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, maybe they've changed it recently, because they've put... Similar like sound to the Todd 1, the True Overdrive 2.
Right.
maybe you've... but yeah, so I think they're going for... I mean, terms that are kind of thrown around a lot, transparent, tube-like, are words that do crop up on their website. But from what I've heard, it does sound fantastic. I think they're just going for something that doesn't necessarily alter your guitar sound, you know, something that maintains the sound of your guitar's pickups and gives you that amp-like push that you might have from an amp that you're not necessarily cranking, or something that's nowadays people are using amps with loads of clean headroom. So the idea is to give you that kind of slightly pushed amp sound without the need for kind of blowing your eardrums out by turning your amp up really loud. Really love the design.
Oh my
really
God.
Minimal.
The design, the look of this pedal is absolutely brilliant.
It's got a nice, like, giant LED, basically.
Yeah, red LED. Like, yeah. Really, really big.
It looks cool. I plugged it in briefly here when it arrived. And had
it looks
a quick,
really solid construction.
It is, yeah. It's really well built. The design's really nice. The giant glowing red LED looks cool. It sounded pretty good. It's hard to tell in my living room because I can't crank an amp very loud, but so drives are always a bit of a problem. Mm. But it sounded nice. It sounded really nice.
Yeah, I look forward to actually getting it here and giving it a blast, because I think it's going to sound really nice.
Yeah.
The controls are diagonal across across the unit as well. What is it? Just volume, tone and gain?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no, it was nice.
It looks banging. A white bent steel chassis.
Yeah.
It's bent steel, isn't
it? Yeah. It's just, it looks very minimal and, sounded pretty nice. So I look forward to a proper demo.
Yes.
There is more news, but I think we are coming up to time, so we should do a question, I think, or at least, let's do at least one question.
Oh my God, we didn't talk about any of the new Friedman mini-amp series.
Talk about that next week, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Let's dive straight into...
Question!
threatening my life choices.
Jay says, I've recently acquired an orange Microterra, and yes, it's staggeringly good. I really don't want to spend loads on an orange 2x12 cab, so what other companies make good gig-worthy cabs? So, Microterra...
Wait. Yeah. Orange 2x12s aren't a lot of money.
Well, I mean, maybe he doesn't want to spend... I mean, they are... Surely they're about 300 quid.
That's probably how much cabs are.
Yeah, but is there any bargains that we're missing? Matt Knight, can you think of anything?
No, I mean... The thing is, you might have seen Orange and you might search Orange 212 and the PPC 212 comes up and you're like, that's £590.
Wow.
That's really expensive. But they do make the PPC 212 OB, which is the open back cabinet. And these ones are made in China. They're 389.
Right.
And actually, that was my go-to amp cab for recommendation usually when I worked in the store. Because for a 212, they're still really well-built. Great sound. You'd lose a little bit of kind of punchiness from it being open back rather than closed back. But for the money, great. I really rate them over the Marshall 1936, which is kind of the next go-to cab that most people tend to sort of swing towards. But for me, spend the money, get the orange one, or contact Paul at Zilla Cabs and have one made, because his prices are roughly the same. No, this price is depending on what you have, you can get some amazing cabs at decent, really decent prices.
What? See, I've kind of got a, I'd like to turn this question on its head slightly.
Okay.
Gig worthy cabs with an orange Microterra?
Yes.
My concern is that's probably not going to be hugely loud enough anyway, is it?
Have you heard one of those through a
412?
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, I suppose if you mic it up. I mean, yeah, I've heard it through a 412, not with a band behind it, though.
I've tried to do sound with a band who turned up with one of these, thinking that...
I mean, this is
so
not more
clever
about your skills, though, than it is
no,
about...
No, it absolutely isn't. It was a complete nightmare. I mean, other than the fact that we physically couldn't put the head on top of a cab because the power cable, because it runs off of like a weird 9-volt.
It's like a 19-volt like that.
That so easily comes out the back because it's not sort of in like a 3-pin. It would fall out as easily as a 9-volt pedal power thing. That cable's not long enough to sit on top of an amp if you've got power on the floor.
Right.
So we had to put the amp head on the floor.
Because it's got like a transformer in the cable, hasn't it?
So
you put the amp on the floor.
We had to put the amp head like on the floor next to the guitarist who was sort of thrashing around a lot, and I just spent the whole gig watching this guy inevitably get closer and closer to knocking over his little pony amp.
We don't know what sort of music's being played, though. Bear that in mind. If it's not a huge loud band, then maybe the Microterra is enough. I was going to say, if you want something small, Was there a DV Mark cab, Matt, that was just a little 112 or a little 110?
They make combos. I don't know if they make a cab.
They do cabs.
I was actually just doing some quick research on the cheapest 212 that you can get that I think would probably be of decent gigging quality. Laney IRT 2x12.
Yes.
£245.
That's a good shout, actually. Because really they're good quality and... that would definitely do the job for a gig, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. And actually got some of the best designed carry handles in the business, I would say.
Yes.
Because they're actually like embedded into the top sides.
Oh, yeah,
so
of course.
So your hand actually goes into them properly, so they're much easier to lift.
And if you've got two people carrying it, you don't get that weird thing you get with the orange cabs where like your wrist is at a really weird angle when you're carrying it. Yeah, I'm all about that. Those IRT cabs are banging. Really, really good. Let's do one more question. Steve says, so I've bought a set of eights guitar strings. Right, okay. he's bought a set of eights for my Les Paul. Never tried this gauge before. I normally stay at tens, but I've read about the likes of Billy Gibbons at BB King who apparently used them, and so I thought, what the heck, I'll give it a go. Anyone else tried them? If so, how'd it work out? Jay Cross.
Have you tried them, Jay, for fishing or something?
So I've got a couple of little anecdotes about thin strings in this manner.
Oh, God.
The first is this band that I used to play in for our final ever show. We were headlining just a small venue down the road,
And Mark was there. Mark's band played. Opened, you know.
Yeah.
And someone pulled out. So, you know.
Cool.
Luke, the guitar player, showed up with... So I had always dealt with his guitar because he didn't know what he was doing. And I always put 11s on, playing an SG. He showed up and he went, oh, yeah. So I was practicing last night, making sure I got the songs right. And I broke a string. So it's all right. I went to the shop and I got some extra slinkies because I wanted to play extra slinky.
Oh God, he thought extra meant like...
Well, he just thought it meant like...
He just thought it was a cool word.
Yeah, he just thought it meant like...
Extra good.
He put them on and he broke a string in the first song, of course.
I'm surprised the guitar's neck wasn't like...
It was all over the place because I seem to remember looking at it and I remember hearing this. It was like all over the place.
Completely, complete nightmare. So that's a downside to it. But an upside to it will be the Billy Gibbons custom shop Les Paul that was released, I don't know, 4 years ago or so, which, if I remember correctly, Matty, came with 7s.
It was the pinstripe one,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There was the gold pinstripe one. No, it was 8s.
It was 8s. Okay.
Because it came with a set of the Reverend Willie's Dunlop 8-string
right,
set.
Right, okay.
His signature set.
But I remember reading about this guitar before it showed up and thinking, 8s, that is utterly ridiculous.
On a Les Paul.
On a Les
well.
Paul. And got it out of the box, and it was one of the best playing guitars I've ever felt.
Oh, I was going to say the same story. If you hadn't said that, I was going to say exactly the same
thing. I really do
thing.
Think that it's... if you're going down the route of playing 8s, you've just got to get a proper, proper setup done. You can't go from 10s to 8s and just, like, muddle your way through and think, you know... Unless you've got, like, a real good knowledge of how... putting a, you know, setting up a guitar, not just like, oh yeah, I sort out my, get it done properly and it will be really, really good, but don't do it if you're a heavy player because you will just go through strings.
Yeah, definitely. All I've got to say on this is if you use 8s, you are both a sexual deviant and B, a pervert. And with that, we shall wrap this episode up. Thanks so much for listening this week. If you want to hear more, do head to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the podcast. At $1 a month, you get the podcast ad-free and early. At the $5 a month tier, you get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week, as well as the extra interviews and mini-series like Branton's Rant On. This week, for the Patreon poll picked for us, our favourite British pedal brands. That's what we're talking about
week. I voted for that.
Yeah, I think we should talk about that this week. That's what the people on the Facebook group wanted. So $5 a month gets you that. $10 a month, our top tier, gets your name read out every week by Mr. Joseph Branton.
Oh no, where's he going?
Like this.
I am presenting.
What are you doing?
I'm going to do it like a play.
Oh God.
This is terrible.
Derek Rich. Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Steve Merkel, Blair Toms, Carlos Mancha, Andrew Macro, Mark Cross, J.D. Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Phil Tomsett, Laurie Anstice, Moo Gravett, Colin Anderson.
I can't wait for you to make your stage debut. Ooh. You've done a bit of acting, haven't you? Weren't you in Aquila?
Yeah. I was in Aquila.
Yeah.
I was in Demon Headmaster.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Headmaster.
If anyone can find that on YouTube, Joe Branton's appearance in Aquila, or I've seen the Demon Headmaster one. It is on YouTube somewhere.
Really?
Can find it and post it to the Facebook group.
What was
it?
Oh, Family Affairs.
Okay.
I was in Family Affairs.
Yeah,
but only as an extra.
What show were you on?
Oh.
Did you have a tash back then as well?
Well, I was
like 11.
Yeah.
I just used to paint it on back then.
If you can find that and post it to the Facebook group, which one have I seen? I've seen the Demon Headmaster one, haven't I? That's definitely on YouTube.
I can't believe you're a child actor.
Yeah, so good. do post it in the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, where you can contribute to the show every week and see videos of Joe as a teenager on the TV. You can also follow us on Twitter @guitar nerds, on Instagram @guitar nerds, and you can go to YouTube, youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, gang.
Farewell.
Bye.
The Demon Headmaster.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.